Elliot, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to bring you right into the conversation we're having here in the studio during the commercial break. As you might expect, and probably not shocked to find out that we in Calgary feel like this draft lottery thing is really not working. Where do you fall in? Do you like the draft lottery? Because Rhett and I think, are kind of on the same page. The worst team, whether you've tanked or not, and I'm using air quotes, don't you deserve to get the better player because you're the worst team? It just seems like in the last few years, the draft lottery, while it's supposed to keep teams from tanking, teams have still tanked, and the worst team hasn't gotten the... It just seems... It doesn't seem right. It seems like it's broken.
I have to say I disagree with that. I don't think you should be rewarded necessarily for doing what Buffalo and Arizona did this year. I just don't. It's the same thing as Philadelphia and the NBA. I look at what they're doing, and I don't think you should necessarily be rewarded for doing that. The thing is, everybody's just mad because Edmonton won. If Edmonton didn't win, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And the thing about this that everyone forgets is that it's changing next year, where you can draw the first three picks and you can drop three spots. But, you know, they were supposed to change that this year, but Buffalo behind the scenes really fought it. And the league said, okay, we'll hold back for a year. I think it's easier. As many people, Dean, would have complained this year if Buffalo did what it did and Arizona did what it did and they got the player, no question about it.
Elliot, what did they do?
What did they do?
What did they do?
They absolutely stripped their team bare bones until it was not competitive.
But when you're an awful team and you have the opportunity to sell assets for draft picks, when some teams do it, that's astute general management. But when they do it, it's tanking.
Well, Buffalo has made it a plan. And I think that's the difference. Arizona this year, they looked at where they were early in the year and they decided to do it. I think it is a little bit different in Arizona's case because they were a team that did not intend to do it. But Buffalo made a plan of it. How long have they been like this?
Yeah, but what's the plan? I mean, when you're Buffalo and you can't sign free agents?
Oh, come on, Red. Look at the money they threw at guys 2 years ago. That's not a legit excuse.
And it went how well?
It doesn't matter how it went or didn't go. The fact is, don't say Buffalo can't sign free agents.
Well, they can sign them for ridiculous amounts of money. Is that a better plan than trading off assets?
Yeah, but if you sign a free agent, you're going to sign them for ridiculous amounts of money. Buffalo's not the only team that's ever done that.
So you're saying that Buffalo doesn't have to pay more?
Makes it. Not everybody can go everywhere. Yes, there's some places where it's harder, and there's some places you've got to overpay a bit more. But you know what does that? Is winning. Do you think Marian Gaborik signs the contract that he signed in L.A. if they're the L.A. Kings of 5 years ago? Not a chance. Not a chance.
So what you're telling me is that if a team really wants to try and win, it's you just need to try. Try harder.
You know, I think, look, there's an eye test here, certainly, right? Like, nobody here can argue that what the Buffalo Sabres did was not tanking. There's just no way. Like, you can't say that it was simply that they weren't trying. It's not that easy. They were doing a lot more than not trying. They were not trying for a significant amount of time. It was their strategy, and we all know it was their strategy. And I don't think, like, just the same way is that I don't think you should reward that to the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think the Buffalo Sabres, like, how would everybody feel if the Buffalo Sabres got the number one pick last year and this year? If they had Aaron Ekblad and Connor McDavid, everybody would be screaming bloody murder the same way they're screaming it at the Edmonton Oilers right now.
I disagree, Elliot.
You know what? You have more faith in humanity than I do.
I disagree.
I think people just complain no matter what.
No, because the Oilers at that point would have had their two first overall picks. Buffalo, yeah, they've been bad for a while. They deserve number one picks. That's what the draft.
You know what?
That's what the draft is about.
I like the lottery. I do.
Why? So why do we even rank teams based worst to best in a draft? Just throw everybody in a bingo ball, in a bingo drum, and just pull them randomly.
No, I like the system because it weights it. Like, you know, like you have more of a chance if you're the worst team. Good. You shouldn't win the lottery if you're the best team in the league. That's, you know, like really, is this
or worse
arguing here?
Or as you argue, you shouldn't win it either if you're worst.
Well, I don't think you should be rewarded for intentionally trying to lose. It's not what sports is about.
So you're.
I think, you know what? I think you take your chances like the Buffalo Sabres did. You know what? And first of all, the Buffalo Sabres, why is anybody crying for them? They're getting a great center.
Are you still there?
A great center.
But that's besides the point.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Yes,
no,
it is. It absolutely is, Elliot. That's not the point at all. Oh, well, you'll still get a good player. No, that's defeatist thinking. Why is there a draft? It is, and why do they weight it the way they do? So that the worst teams can get better by way of the draft. And then you bring in a draft lottery, and now it's ridiculous. Now it's not working either.
I got to tell you, I don't really have a big problem with it.
Well, you're wrong.
What's that?
Well, you're wrong.
Okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
I agree with you, Elliot. If the lottery was put in place at some point to stop rewarding teams for being awful, it certainly has worked. That would be my argument.
Yeah, like,
but it hasn't stopped them from
trying. I'll tell you this, I'll tell you something else. If I was an owner or general manager thinking of tanking, I'd look at Arizona today and I'd say, maybe that's not 100% the best strategy. Look, if you have one lousy year and you win the lottery, I don't have a problem with that. You know, if I don't think, like, you look at the Buffalo Sabres, and I think they're going to be a better team in a couple of years. You know why? Because Darcy Regier made the decision to cut out the bottom, and look how many draft picks they had in the last couple of years, and look how many draft picks they have this year. They have a perfect chance to restock themselves, and that's fine with me. They're going to get lots of good players, and if they didn't completely napalm the bridges with Eichel this weekend, they'll get a really good player.
All right. Well, Elliot,
you know what? That's the chance you take. You know, everybody plays by the same rules, Dean. There's no favoritism here. You know what the rules are going in. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, now we're getting into something like it.
Well, Elliot, I'll be honest. You've not had a great start to this segment, so we'll move on.
It's been fantastic.
Let's go. Let's talk Vancouver. Will there be any suspensions? We're talking Dan Hamhuis for his hit on Sam Bennett or the instigated penalty in the final five for Alexander Burrows.
Well, I was thinking last night because, you know, I always ask Kipper and Rudy these things, and they did not like the Hamhuis hit on Bennett. They really didn't like it at all. I can't see a situation where Vancouver gets both of those guys suspended for game four. So I don't think that's going to happen. I just can't imagine the league putting Vancouver in that position. So I think it's one or none. And you know what? Like, I could see it being none. I really could. I think it's one or none, but you know what? I could see them looking and saying, well, Englund got his rescinded, so we better do it with Burrows too.
But we all play by the same rules. And if those rules are in place in the regular season, how? I agree with you. They won't have the gumption to suspend them, but on the other hand,
if anyone's getting suspended, it's suspended. It's just one of them.
Yeah,
they're not putting Vancouver in a situation where two guys are getting suspended. They're just not.
What did you think of the Hamhuis hit yourself? You mentioned the other guys. What did you see?
I didn't like it. You know, his head was kind of turned, and it all comes down to does he go right through the body? And I think he tried, but that doesn't necessarily mean he did it. And I, you know, the one thing they told me last night was long day. We're going to sleep on it. So, you know, they're up this morning. I don't have proof, but I'm 100% sure that the Canucks are going to ask for that instigator to be rescinded. I didn't like the Hamhuis hit either, but I will also recognize that these are turning into nasty, mean games. And if Subban wasn't going to get suspended for that slash, I wonder what somebody's going to get suspended for.
Interest for me, goaltending. It's all over the map. You get changes, and you just, it seems like this is unprecedented in playoff hockey.
You know, it's funny, Red. I talked to a GM about that, and he said to me that the pressure on the coaches to win now, it's like, you look at the quality of guys that are about to get fired or could get fired. Like, look, and these are good coaches. He said, these guys, they don't care how much a guy is making. They don't care what the guy's contract is. They don't care about the past. They look at it and they say, what do I got to do to win the game tonight? Who gives me the best chance to win the game tonight? Because if I don't win this game, nobody's got any loyalty to me either. So that's what we're seeing here. I think it's amazing. You look at what's happened in St. Louis, in Chicago, in Detroit, in Vancouver, although that's a bit of an injury one. In Ottawa the other night, Hammond gets them into the playoffs. They go to Anderson. These coaches, they do not care about contracts anymore. And what it says to me is that in a lot of ways, I think the relationships between the general managers and the coaches, it used to be the coach went out of the way not to embarrass the GM. That's not happening anymore either.
Winnipeg, their second favorite team, unless we have to play them. What's going on? Do they still have a chance here? I mean, they've played pretty good, but they keep losing, finding ways.
Well, because they're so undisciplined. Like, I went back through the NHL.com numbers back. The NHL.com, I think, goes back to 98. So if you go back all those years, you try to find a team that's finished 30th in minors taken and won the Stanley Cup. You can't. And that's what Winnipeg did this year. They took the most minor penalties in the NHL. And, you know, people say, oh, okay, well, you know, Maurice has said it once, you know, I'm certain penalties I'm okay with. Well, in both games, they've had situations where they had a chance to win, and Anaheim caught them on the power play. And Anaheim's power play was not that good in the regular season, but you keep giving guys like Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff, guys who elevate their games in the playoffs, chances to beat you in those situations, and they will. And, you know, to me, that's the issue with, like, and, you know, Pavlik kind of called out Andrew Ladd after the last game. So I'm very curious to see what that's going to be like today.
That was a weird one by Ladd the other night. Kind of, you know, the high-sticking hit to the head on Getzlaff. There was no way it was going to hurt him. But when Andrew Ladd the guy's won Stanley Cups, when that guy is taking foolish penalties, and he's your leader, not good.
No, it's not good. As your captain, he's supposed to be better than that. And it also tells me that the referees are looking for it because they know Winnipeg's reputation, and they're saying, okay. You know, the tough thing, though, I got to say, in these playoffs, the refereeing has kind of been all over the map. Like, you know, you're watching different games in different series, and you see, like, a lot of difference. I think, to me, I could see it being difficult for the players to adjust from series to series. However, you know, you have to understand that that's the way it is, and you can't put yourself in a position where a referee is going to say, okay, I'm going to have to make that call. And, you know, Ladd certainly did.
We were kind of joking about it last week. Brian Elliott.
Yeah.
Last year, carries a good portion of the mail for them during the regular season. Oh, Ryan Miller trade. Okay, well, I guess I'll sit and watch. This year, does it again, gets a late invite to the All-Star game, plays pretty well, playoffs come, Jake Allen's our starter. To keep his temper in check, or just to be a pro there for Brian Elliott right now, has got to be tough.
It's brutal, and I know him a little bit. He was, you know, he was really mad the way it ended for him in Ottawa, too. He thought he really got a raw deal. So he takes these things very personally. He does. He may, and you know what? He kind of hints at it because when the Blues announced that Jake Allen was the starter, one of the reporters went up to Elliott and he said, look, I do have opinions on it, but I'm going to keep them to myself. So you can tell he is barely holding it in, like just barely holding it in. And he feels that he's getting hosed here again. There's no question about that. And, you know, the thing is here is that at some point they're going to need him. And he's going to go out there and he's going to play his best because that's the way he is. He's a professional. But I voted for him for the Masters in this year because of what he did at the All-Star game when so many people were killing it and refusing to play in it. And I think this is another example to me of why I think he deserves it. Because, you know, remember, he was like the 271st pick in his draft. And he's made it this far and he continues to do it. I have a lot of respect for the guy.
Finally, just a thought on the situations Boston, San Jose, and Toronto. Vacancies or pending vacancies, what's the word on GMs and coaches? You mentioned there could be a whole lot of high-profile guys looking for work this summer.
Well, in Toronto, I think Brandon Shanahan's going to take a little bit of time and see, you know, where all the coaching candidates shake out, including Babcock. In San Jose, I've been told the story that's going on there is that the owner wants to have one press conference and not two. He doesn't want to have a situation where he does coach first and GM at another time or one or the other. He wants to come out and say, look, this is the decision I'm making with the coach and the general manager, and we're waiting for that decision to be made. I expect that Todd McClellan will be out, but I don't know about the GM. Boston, you know, as I reported on Saturday, you know, if Claude Julien is fired, I really think that there's a chance that Mike Milbury becomes a candidate there. He has a long history with Cam Neely. Now, last night, Jimmy Murphy, who's a reporter who's based out there, said that he thinks Don Sweeney is going to be the GM, which I have agreed with. I've reported that, too. And he thinks that if Sweeney is the GM, Claude Julien's going to stay, which I think is the best move for the Bruins. I don't think they need to do anything different, but we'll see. And the other one I think that's going to be interesting in all this is, you know, Todd Nelson in Edmonton, now that the Oilers have won the lottery, what does that mean for his future? And I got to tell you, if McClellan becomes free, I could see Edmonton just making a huge run at him. I mean, we've all believed they're going to do it anyway, but now I think something like that even becomes more likely if he's available.
I'm just going to get you to double back because I have a feeling people might be in their car and they heard the name Mike Milbury as a potential candidate somewhere and then turned the volume up to see what they... Can you go through that again? Because even I think I kind of misheard you.
Well, like I said, if Claude Julien is fired, and there were reports last night that he won't be, but if he is fired... I do think Mike Milbury is going to be a candidate in Boston. You know, he has a long history with Cam Neely. Milbury was Neely's coach when they played there. You know, I'll tell you this. I haven't talked to Mike because we're friends. I really loved working together with him when we were at Hockey Night in Canada. And I specifically did not speak to him for this particular reason. His name has been out there. It's been talked about. I think he would get interviewed. I don't know if he's the guy if they make a change, but I do think he gets an interview, and I do think Neely has some interest. But like I said last night, there was a report that if Sweeney becomes the GM, as he's expected to be, he will keep Julien as the coach.
Wow. Well, there's hope for us all then, Elliot. Thanks. You cleaned things up at the end there. Well done. Good finish. Bad start, good finish.
Well, no worries. Even though you're wrong, I still love you.
I know. Well, you can be better next time.
I'm with you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Talk to you Friday. There you go.